Okay, we're up and running. Good. So, I'll read you the first 8 verses. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And his message, and this was his message, after me comes one who is more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I will read on just a few more verses. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. I watched a film last night. Some of you may have read the book, The Shack. And I watched the film last night. My children bought me a thing for the TV, which means I can watch a few films. And I just was wondering about whether it would be any good to watch, because the book was interesting. Theologically it was interesting, but maybe from a different perspective. But it was talking about, it actually was the Trinity, the community of God. It was interesting for me last night to see that. I suppose you could ask, what do you mean? What is community? What is community? I think that it's a question that we often ask ourselves in hindsight. Some places call themselves by different names, and most of them would say nowadays they'll use that phrase, community, whatever. And we'll look at that in a moment or two. We know that many things and organisations call themselves community organisations. So it's not unexpected for us to think about what organisations use that term. Can you think of any of them?
St Mary's Community Hall.
St Mary's Community Hall. Anything else?
Community Cafe.
Community Cafe. There's a community cafe type thing here as well. What about schools? Schools often call themselves community schools. Alderman's Green, it was Alderman's Green Community School. I think there's more to it now than that, but I've written down a few of the ideas about this. Schools obviously call themselves community schools. Local associations, like in Rushton, they have the steam train, and I think they like to call themselves a community of steam train enthusiasts. It can be a way of getting away from what you want to do or need to be doing. Community choirs.
Yeah.
It's a Beaujolais community choir. It's not, it's the Windmill.
It's the Windmill. We are a community.
Because we talk about gospel community choirs, don't we, all over the place. So that would be another way. Community libraries, that's a thing that we're looking at the moment in Northamptonshire, isn't it? Community libraries being closed down, possibly. And some people just, community allotments?
Yeah. What about a commune?
A commune,
In a political sense.
Well, that's also a thing that we haven't thought of. So it is important to include as many things as we can possibly think of in this idea. But we're looking at the community to do with not only schools and all the rest of it. It gives a connection, doesn't it? The idea of community is to give a connection to the locality in which we live. It's like saying, I belong to Beaujolais community, whatever it is. But you're a community within a community, so it gets a bit clicky. It can do, can't it? Sometimes these community things become more important than the community that they live in. People have the same interests. Often will call themselves a community of enthusiasts, as I've said already, for their particular thing, like vintage car reenactment societies. Will often call themselves community societies as well, or a community of people who dress up in old-fashioned clothes. It's one or the other, and with spears and pikes and all sorts of things, they'll go out and do these reenactment. There was a chap that was associated with Alderman's Green in Coventry who used to go out and do the reenactment stuff. So what does it mean to be part of a community? Well, the word being part of is important, or taking part, listening to, close to, or giving to, or sharing in. And the Bible has it in Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 to 47, having all things in common. I'll give you that scripture reference again. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Having all things in common meant that they were a community. That was a community that was special, because in the days that they lived in, community, that wasn't a particular idea that they followed so strongly. There have been ideologies around that like to think that they were community-based. Mr. Stalin had an idea that he would make his community level playing field, that everybody were on the same level. Others like Chairman Mao and Pol Pot had the idea of making everybody go out into the farmland and you'd all become a community of producing for your nation. But we know that that became not a community but a conformity. And so there's a great difference between community and conformity. Not because millions died. Not just a few, 100,000, but millions died as a result of that. So community, true community, needs to be seeded with love, respect, wisdom, openness, and a willingness to share. So I'll read those again. The community needs to be seeded with love, respect, wisdom, openness, and a willingness to share. Do you like sharing what you've got? Yes. Are you good at sharing?
I think so.
Yeah. I just asked that. Do you remember when as children somebody wanted to play with your toy? And we tended to want to hold on to the thing that was ours.
Yeah.
We've grown up now enough to say you can borrow that if you wish, but bring it back in good health. You know. There is a sense in which we need to, I suppose, say that the list of making a community and the idea of community is endless. And in our reading today, you might think that community, we've talked about community being an expression of love. One of the greatest expressions of love in Scripture is found where? This is not a quiz, it's all right. You don't have to feel awkward, but if I say 1 Corinthians 13... you have an expression of community there, of community of love, which is, if we expressed it properly, would be wonderful. I'll just mention it, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 13. If you want to read that when you get home, just to remind you of what love is, and it'll be helpful to you, I'm sure. In our reading today, we see the community of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, talking about God as a community might seem strange. I don't know how you feel about that. It's the idea of God being three and God being one. But it's important that we at least have an idea of what that means, because that's part of our Christian heritage. A chap called Frederick Brunner says in one essay, and I'll read this to you, "One of the most surprising discoveries in my own study of the doctrine and experience of the Spirit in the New Testament is what can only be described as the shyness of the Spirit." The shyness of the Spirit. Now, I thought, what's he on about? But then I read a little bit more. And he says, "What I mean here is not the shyness of timidity, but the shyness of deference." Not timidity, but deference to someone else. Okay? So there's a deference to God the Father, or deference to God the Son from the Spirit. It's other-centeredness, not self-centeredness. In other words, the shyness of love, I suppose you could say. The work of the Spirit is to glorify God and Jesus saying, look at him, listen to him, serve him, and love him, be preoccupied with him. What preoccupies you at the moment? What sort of things are on your mind? Oh, I wish that bloke would finish talking, maybe. Is there other things that, apart from what we're doing now, other things that preoccupy your mind at the moment? It might be your own health.
More the health of family members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's looking away from self, which is a good thing, isn't it? When we see other people who are so poorly, what's wrong with us seems to pale into insignificance, doesn't it? Even if you've just stubbed your toe at the bottom of the bed, you think of someone else, and it still hurts, but you're thinking about another person. Yeah. I think we were talking a few weeks ago, there's a lady called Margaret O'Dell, who some of you here will know. And she's been in hospital, and they thought she was losing her mind somewhat, maybe suffering with dementia. We found out today she's so much better and able to have a good conversation with people. And do you know how much of a relief is that to us when we know someone is feeling a little bit better? Or it's that deference to others, it's willingness to say to others, I'm not that important, but you're important. That's what this is talking about here. When we look at Jesus, we realise how different he was, in that he didn't go around saying, look at me, or I am the greatest. He didn't have to. He was. But he didn't have to. In fact, he would defer to others. And he would, what did he do? He went to John to be baptised.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
That sort of deference to a human being in that way. He came not to be served, but to serve. Okay. He submitted to the Holy Spirit, who drove him out into the wilderness. He told the Father during his struggle in the Gethsemane, in the end, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus had this deference, this shyness, and it's difficult to find the right words, isn't it? And you might not agree with the words I'm using, but you might get the idea that the Godhead differs to each other in that wonderful way. So we see that God is a community. Dallas Willard, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, put it this way, the Trinity is a self-sufficient community of unspeakable magnificent personal beings of boundless love, knowledge and power. Would you like me to read that to you again? I haven't written it up, I'm sorry, I should have put that on the overhead as well. But deference to others, let me read that again, what Dallas Willard said. The Trinity is a self-sufficing community of unspeakable, magnificent personal beings of boundless love, knowledge and power. I think that's a wonderful thing. God said about his son, this is my son, I am pleased with him. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. If we read in John chapter 17, we read how Jesus prayed for us and said, oh, I wish, oh, I long that my people are one just as you and me, Father, are one. Isn't that a lovely thing?
I can't see.
Stand up, girl. Okay. So, and Jesus wanted us to have the same sort of experience as he had. So he wanted to send the Holy Spirit to us. And he prayed that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And we're described as being made in the likeness of God. If there is this desire for community in God, then it's natural for us to have that longing deep within us to be with and to love and to share and to commune and to be. As I said already, John chapter 17, if you want to write that down as well, it's the prayer that Jesus used to pray for himself, first of all. Then he prayed for his relationship with God, he prayed for us, and then he prayed, for his disciples, then he prayed for us, for all who would become followers of God in the future. John 17, it's a lovely one to read if you want to recognise just how much Jesus was interested in us. Jesus prays for his disciples. So there needs to be an idea that we are a fellowship of believers in community, a community of love. Not my will, but yours be done. And all those sort of phrases that sort of defer to the other in that particular idea. So we're described as being made in the image of God. Well, if you look around, at all the images that are here. We are a funny looking lot, aren't we? And I think one of the nice things about that is that God says it's not to do necessarily with how you look physically, but it is how you are inside spiritually. The body, soul and spirit is important, not the outward appearance. As we see from the words of Jesus, his desire for us is to be one with God and one with each other, a community of love. And this is seen in the last words of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, how the fellowship of believers had everything in common. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together, and with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, that's a fantastic description. And if you read some of the stories in our nation of the revivals that occurred in Wales, in Cornwall, and in the Hebrides, you will find out similar things happen. People spent time together, eating together, drinking together, singing together, worshipping together, even asleep on their knees together because they had to go to work in the next morning to earn money. Some would go to work, come out, get cleaned up, go to church, spend the whole night in church in prayer, and then come home just in time to go to work. Imagine. It would be shattering, wouldn't it? So our aim in life needs to be that we aim to want or to have natural thoughts of community. And our community life here in Beaujolais is really important. But community is wherever we are. I mean, I actually live in Higham Ferrers, don't I? Some of you live in Rushton. The thing is, we are community wherever we are. I was saying this morning that we had a neighbour whose motorbike makes a horrible noise in the morning. I think it's an American thing, you know. What's they called?
Harley Davidson.
And it only seems to thud it away in the morning at about 6 a.m. or something like that. The thing about that was that, you know, I'd not met this guy, but I'd heard him. The other day, a parcel was left at our house for him. And I was thinking, well, I better not even talk about Harley Davidson's to him. But at least I ought to accept the parcel and pass it on to him. And he came to our house the other day to pick up the parcel. And I just said, any time, that's fine. If you need to have the parcel delivered, we'll receive it for you. Simple little things like that can begin the community of sharing the gospel with other people. And I just throw that in, not to say I'm any better than anybody else, but that is just the simple way in which we as followers of Christ can widen the sphere of the work of God. Do you think we can learn anything from the community of God? We're going to have some tea, I think, now. Mm-hmm. If that's all right.
Yeah.
Just so that we can sit and rest for a moment, let those words sort of get into your heads, and then we'll have a time of three. I've just got three questions for you today to talk about when you sat around your tables. There's not a lot to look at, but I'd like you to have a look at them in a moment or two. Okay.